was Christmas Eve, babe. In the drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on the lucky one, came in like 10 to 1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you baby, I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
You promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome,
you were pretty queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the drunks they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing, go away, babe. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
That
you scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy. Happy Christmas, you're a thought, by God, it's our love.
The boys of the NYPD choir still singing, go away, babe. And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
I could have been someone. I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you.
The boys of the NYPD chorus are singing, go away, babe. And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
Yes, the dulcet tones of Kirsty MacColl and the Pogues. It must be Christmas. Hi, Corey.
Hey, Rich.
Welcome to Christmas on the Canon, edition number 2 of the 2021 season. I'm your host, Rich Larson. And I have to apologize to you, my co-host, my dear friend. Last week, not once did I mention to anybody that you are Corey Butler of the Northfield School Board. So I apologize.
I was going to say my voice precedes me, but you went somewhere different with that, which I should have expected.
It's just my favorite thing to do.
And this is why this show is PG now, with the occasional toe touching of PG-13.
Yeah, every now and then we'll...
I have a responsibility to the people.
We'll get close to that third rail, but we won't step on it. So
until we have Christmas After Dark.
Wow, that's a whole different conversation.
Which we could easily go with. There's plenty out there. Ooh. We could bring back Mr. Carter. That would be a good start.
Yeah, it would, actually. Yeah. I don't even want
to... Welcome to the first 2 minutes of the show. We're still keeping it PG, though.
Okay,
just cool. Like we were talking off air, as long as we only reference the things, it's not as bad as actually saying them, right?
It's all in the presentation.
We were jokingly, lovingly talking about those who censor themselves as they talk.
Yeah.
Because we have a couple of radio edits. Well, that song had a radio edit.
That song had some major radio edits.
Yeah.
That
some was, very appropriate.
Yeah. That song was, of course, Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues and Kiersey McCall, which came out in 1987. And for a long time, 25 plus years, that was the most popular Christmas song in the UK. But we were just talking about this too. It has fallen out of favor in recent years over there because of the line that was edited and some of the words that
do you think in particular because of the one word that's definitely changed favor or the other word, which was never really a nice word.
Well, I don't think the one word helps, but it's really the derogatory term for homosexuals that is taken out of there. That's really been the big deal, I think.
Which I think was the correct edit. The other ones, especially the third one, like that's language there and not so bad here.
Go
look up the lyrics.
The word they took out is ass. I mean, Happy Christmas, arse. Your ass. Arse. Arse. Yeah, Happy Christmas, your arse.
Which is even softer.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, ours are soft.
That's in the Canterbury Tales, for gosh sakes. I mean.
But my immediate thought when you mentioned that, which I kind of knew, but refreshed my mind, was Money for Nothing by Dire Straits.
Right. Yeah.
Like that song's still on the radio all the time. Also had that word, but I think they just cut that whole section.
A lot of times just that verse gets removed. Yeah. Like we said, when Mark Knopfler performs that song now, he has taken that word out. He uses the word monkey instead,
which is the correct thing to do,
I suppose. I mean, even
I mean,
people,
yeah, it's yeah, tough.
You could find reason to take issue with monkey too, but that's all.
Sure. You know. But I was thinking you were talking about like editing at all, because do you edit things when you're the creator and you created at a certain time where things were maybe, I don't want to say more acceptable, but less criticized at least publicly.
Yeah.
So do you try to be honest with what your original creation was, or do you do those edits? Like I'll tell you, like as an Oasis guy, Wonderwall, the song.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I can't even think of the reference. We'll switch references. We'll switch to Elton John. I'm struggling here. I can't think of the. Okay. But they changed that to Who. They incorrectly, when they're referencing people, should have been saying Who.
Right.
And the original songs had that. Both those songs. I didn't tell you the Elton songs. I can't think of it off the top of my head. It's too early, I guess. Or I've been up too long and still too early.
Yeah, I get it.
But Wonderwall had a that, and I think it live now they say Who. So someone must have wisened them up about their grammar.
Interesting.
And I think, is it Tiny Dancer that might have had the that Who switch? I can't recall.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Interesting. Well, on the whole, I think there's something to be said for moving with the times and accepting things. When we know better, we do better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's how I equate this.
All right.
Anyway.
Great song.
Yeah.
So was last year the first year we had it, or was it 2 years ago?
Oh, I think I've played this.
Is this every year?
I can't imagine not doing a Christmas show and not playing this.
Yeah,
song,
I think we've discussed that we have some that just are on the list every year.
Yeah,
I just couldn't recall if this was introduced last year.
In fact,
I
threw one on this week that wasn't even on like our prep list. And it just occurred to me that hadn't been in here.
Oh.
So I just threw it on there.
Oh, is it the
the
duet?
Yeah.
I wonder because I felt like I didn't see that picture.
I came across another couple that'll just going to pop up.
Right, that's fine. I'm always...
Anyway.
I know we have a tight timeline we have to stick to here under 4 hours, so we'll be all right. I do want to say this has become one of my more favorite songs. It's tough because I could tell you my 50 favorite Christmas songs. Right. But this is one that I really adore. And I guess when I say has become is because it's something that was more recently introduced to.
Sure.
And as we talked about a lot on the show, that contemporary music, whether you say last 20 years, last 40 years when it comes to Christmas.
For me, it's the last 50 years.
This is 34 years ago, so I mean, you could argue. But I think of like anything past the 60s or 70s, I'll say.
Yeah.
It gets pretty thin for Christmas music that's like really good. So there aren't new songs that come out. They're like, oh, wow, that's a great Christmas song.
Yeah.
But this was new to me. So I guess that's my point, is that I love it. And I'm glad that.
There's actually been a lot in the 21st century. And we'll talk.
You and I have done a lot of research last couple of years to dig up some of these, because they're not pop radio. I mean, I don't even know if that's the right term, but Christmas radio, we'll say that. Popular music. They go back to the standards, which for a lot of good reasons, a lot of them are very, very good. Some not so much, but it's hard to get, I think, unless you're a genre like country or something more specific, it's probably hard to get radio play.
I think it's tough to write a good original Christmas song.
Like, it hasn't been done.
This one is a good original Christmas song, Fairy Tale of New York. Nick Lowe, sometime in the last 10 years came out with it, which I don't know if we've ever, well, we have to have played it once. A song called Christmas at the Airport, which I really love. And it's a goofy little song, right? It's about getting stuck at the airport on Christmas. But it's a good song, and it's original. So that's possible, but they're rare.
Well, and that was one thing I did like about the song. A lot of songs I gravitate toward are those traditional, like, oh, things are lovely, and it's great, and everything's shiny and merry and all that stuff. So I like that this is written in a masterful way that kind of takes off the sheen. It's more realistic.
Yeah.
Because I can envision plenty of Christmases like that.
Oh.
And I probably participate in a few, maybe not to that degree, but, you know, we have this quintessential, like, idyllic Christmas we're all supposed to have.
Right.
But how many of us ever really, truly attain that?
I don't mind saying this too. The biggest meltdowns my family ever had as a family were all at Christmas.
As tradition
lends itself to that stuff, man.
Well, you bring people together who may not see each other very often, and and often there's a reason why,
right?
You know, a similar thing. I can remember my dad and uncles just, you know, doing the Three Stooges bit, but not in like a funny, charming way.
Exactly.
More like, holy crap, the place is going to start on fire.
When I was my old man and I would go to war at Christmas. Anyway,
such a jolly time.
But my dad's been gone for 7 years, and I miss him like crazy. So anyway,
I did want to say, I do love this song, as I said.
Yeah.
I did go out and listen to other versions this year because one thing we did talk about was bringing other types of songs or other versions.
Mm-hmm.
This is one that can't be replaced. It can't be touched. I listened to 5 other versions. They were from, range from okay to pretty good.
Yeah.
Can't touch this. No. Can't touch it. So.
No. For me, it's something about the Pogues. And Kirsty MacColl was a pop singer. And the Pogues are this punk Irish band, right?
Yeah.
Kirsty MacColl, who tragically was killed in a weird boating accident, was a pop singer. And the juxtaposition of
styles
of those two styles, and of course, it's produced by Steve Lillywhite, who was Kirsty MacColl's husband.
Everybody knows that.
Well, no, of course, right? Yeah, okay, this was produced by
the music encyclopedia over here, just talking common.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're right. Anyway. And you know, it's funny. I wish I could give the example, but I heard someone else do the same exact thing sometime this week, and it really bugged me. So now I'm guilty of it.
I already forgot the husband's name.
Steve Lillywhite.
Yeah, I had moved on.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's move on anyway and talk about a group that I've never heard of before. Okay.
We'll get to that in a moment. I think we got a couple things. One, I just want to mention a cute thing.
Yeah.
Because I think this is worthwhile.
Okay.
We were talking before the show started about...
Folks, you missed one heck of a nice philosophical conversation Corey and I had before the and someday when we do just a straight up talk show, maybe Corey
will
repeat that. But anyway,
I'll use the word indoctrination, but I was going to use persuasion.
Okay.
And sometimes this is intentional and sometimes unintentional, but unsurprisingly, I am a big Christmas fan.
Yes.
And it plays a big role this time of year in our family's life, family's life.
Sure.
So sometimes I'll belt out a line from a song occasionally.
Right.
And I'm hoping I do this, my voice won't crack because I've been talking a long time.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to go low. And out of the blue, a few weeks ago, my son responds in a certain way. So I'm going to do what I do.
Okay.
Happy holiday. Cool 108. He was like 2 rooms away. And all of a sudden I hear, what was that? So then again, I go, happy holiday, cool 108. You know, he just turned 7, Liam. Like, holy crap, have I done that to him already?
That's hilarious.
But I loved it. So now it like became our like, you know, right. dog and pony show. Yeah. So we were visiting for Thanksgiving and I pulled it out in front of the in-laws and everyone was very happy.
That's
so
outstanding. It was
like, but I can't understand how, because it's not like we spend that much time in the car these days, right. given the last couple of years, right. particularly this time. I mean, we do Christmas activities, but.
But if he's heard, he's seven, if he's heard it like for like 3 or 4 years yeah. in a row, it just, it, you know.
It's just so random.
I mean.
It just makes this cold heart feel warm.
Oh, that's nice. So,
oh, speaking of which. Yeah. We have the return at your request of the haiku corner. Of
yeah,
Corey
that's
Butler,
right. So, here we go.
We can skip the introductions, I think, unless you really enjoy doing.
Time now for Corey Butler of the Northfield School Board's Haiku Corner.
You're going to get me in trouble. Also, I wrote these all this morning, so if they suck, you can still blame me because I wrote them. All
right.
And I tried to tie some of these to the songs around
okay,
them.
Okay, so cool.
There's a little more intention with these ones than the random okay. ones I wrote audibly in my car last week. Very safely, hands-free, by the way.
Good.
A cold, stark Christmas. A hot toddy for you, me. Warmth comes from within.
Aw.
Aw.
That's lovely.
So that's a playoff of the last song.
Yeah.
You know, not everyone's Christmas is cheery, but exactly. It all comes from inside anyway.
Exactly. So. All right.
There you go.
Okay.
So back to Mr. Fred. I don't know. Is it Waring, do you think?
Waring.
You
yeah. Think so? Yeah. I, that's how I read it. Okay. Fred Waring and
yeah, and the Pennsylvanians.
So not, I'd never heard of. I actually expected this to be like a polka kind of a thing.
Oh. Yeah. I thought you were going to say Rayconniff-esque.
Yeah. No, I did not expect that, no. But yeah. But that's closer to what I got.
We could get the Kenosha Kickers in here.
No.
Home Alone?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
So I was...
I've seen Home Alone exactly one time, and I've never seen Home Alone 2.
I mean, Home Alone 2 is fine, but the first one...
I've seen Home Alone exactly once.
It's probably a demographic
it
thing.
It came out when I was in college, and I was too cool for school, and...
Well, guess what? You're no longer cool and no longer in school, so it's time to re-embrace
this
Home Alone.
Is true. But I'm now just bugged by the whole thing. I like Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern, though. So
maybe, it's pre-cell phones. Like, the whole premise is kind of right. nutsy. But right. just go with right. it. Okay. I mean, it's... I was going to say, let's talk about your favorite Christmas movies. I don't know what they are off the top of my head. But I'm sure we can find some holes in all of them.
I'm sure we can. Oh, let's start with Scrooged.
Yeah, suspend your disbelief. Okay. Oh, the ghost thing?
Yeah.
No way. No way. That doesn't take you out of it? All right. Anyway, Mr. Waring... I found this. I have a collection of vinyl, and I've got, you know, and I say collection very loosely. It was mm-hmm. stuff that my mother had shared with me.
Okay.
Because they sat for decades, and I'm like, hey, can I have your vinyl? She's like, okay.
Yeah.
So I went and took it. In there were a smattering of Christmas albums, none of which I remember, even though they've been around forever. But anyway, there's one that has Nat King Cole, which doesn't surprise me, right? And this particular album was called Christmas with Nat King Cole. And it had 8 songs from Mr. King Cole. And then there were 4 songs from Fred Waring and the Pennsylvanians.
Interesting.
So I started listening to some of these during work, just in the background.
Yeah.
And I threw this one on, you know, a few weeks ago. And I liked what I heard. And I he had 4 songs, but this is one I picked from Fred and his group. Silver Bells is one of my favorite songs.
Sure. Mine too.
Again, I could probably say that for a lot. One of my favorite songs.
I love Silver Bells. Maybe not necessarily this exact version, but I do love Silver Bells.
Yeah, I know we've talked about that in prior years. I feel like Dean Martin's probably my definitive version. But
I actually like Michael Bublé's version.
Yeah, Michael, he gets a lot of crud from people, but I think he does a fine job. He's super popular, obviously.
He's
very divisive, I think.
I have not listened. Wow, how can Michael Bublé be divisive?
There's people who hate him.
Well, I understand that because, you know, there are people who like hardcore punk. I mean, but I've actually not listened to anything Michael Bublé has ever done except for the Christmas stuff.
Sure.
And I love it. I adore it.
And he actually had a couple pop songs that, you know, chart it that weren't too bad.
Yeah.
Just it sounded like Michael Bublé. He's got a certain cadence to his voice.
Sure.
I had pledged to you that I wouldn't have too much research for most of the songs.
But
this is a new guy. So I've got a little bit more. So I'm going to read through this rather quickly so we don't waste too much time.
We are going long on this segment, my friend.
That's okay. Yeah. Stick around. There's more music coming.
Yes, there is.
Not for 6 more minutes, but it's coming. from 1923 until late 1932, Waring's Pennsylvanians were among Victor Records' best-selling bands.
Victor Records?
Yeah.
You know who also signed to Victor Records?
Muddy Waters.
Frank Sinatra.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, good company. In late 1932, Waring abruptly quit recording, although his band continued to perform on radio.
Hmm.
Later on, Waring expanded into television with the Fred Waring Show, which ran on CBS from June 20, 1948 to May 30, 1954.
Hmm.
See, that's a six-year run.
That's a nice run.
And he received several awards for Best Musical Program. So it's just, it's funny when you look back about how many people, I mean, not everyone had a show, but like everyone just had these shows, yeah. Like these variety shows.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes me sad in a way because I was looking yesterday, actually, with Liam, my seven-year-old, for some of these old, like, variety shows from Christmas. Right. And Amazon used to have a bunch of them.
Yeah.
They had Andy Williams on there, sure. Red Skelton, mm-hmm. Danny Kaye. They even had, I think, a Bing Crosby one year. I mean, not all of them, but just some of them. I can't find any of them anymore.
Oh, that's too bad.
None of those are on there. Netflix has none of them. I don't know. I mean, I know licensing things come and go, but it was really disappointing because I kind of like looking at those old 60s, 70s, even 50s.
Right. Well, some of those, I mean, they're kinescopes, right? Like there was no way to record back then, so somebody actually set up a movie camera in front of a TV and recorded them that way, and that's, yeah. A lot of those things are gone now.
Yeah, but I'm just saying ones they previously had on there on the streaming channels that have gone away. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, okay. So they had been there previously.
Okay. All right. Have you looked at all? Like have you like Googled? If you put in like Andy Williams streaming,
yeah, it tells you where it is.
That's where you find it.
Yeah, it could be. And same with like the Christmas lights displays. I don't know if you've ever seen those videos of like, here's Denmark, you know, whatever town in Denmark.
Right,
and here's all these light displays. Like
I
like looking at those.
Christmas
trains.
Yeah,
all those are gone.
Corey Butler, man.
I'm so boring.
Northfield's king of Christmas right here. Yeah.
Well, I try.
Yeah, you are.
Real quick here. In the 60s and 70s, popular musical taste turned from choral music. I almost said choral. Choral music. But Waring changed with the times, introducing his young Pennsylvanians. So he would have been like 60 or 70.
Yeah.
A group of fresh-faced, long-haired, bell-bottom performers who sang old favorites and choral arrangements of contemporary songs.
Oh, good Lord.
I want to watch that. Because how awful is that, probably? But what I thought was interesting about that is, you know, I clearly have an affinity for early performers and, you know, what we consider the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like an adaptability about them to stay relevant
that
I don't know is replicated as well nowadays. And I think this goes back to like we pigeonhole people that you must be this, you must be that, because that's what you got famous for.
Right.
There are some who can do it and do it successfully, but most people, you're a singer of this genre, how dare you go here?
Does that entertainer change before it's necessitated? Like does that entertainer like to stretch their boundaries?
Are they spreading themselves, or are they,
trying to keep up? And like you know, the you know, like Rolling Stones in the late 70s making a disco album, knock it off. Just don't do that.
Yeah.
Right? You know, anyway, all right. So this is Fred Waring and the Pennsylvanians, the old Pennsylvanians, not the young Pennsylvanians, with Silver Bell.
How far away you roam, when when you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can't beat home, sweet home. I met a man who lives in Tennessee, and he was heading for Pennsylvania and some homemade pumpkin pie. From Pennsylvania, folks are traveling down to Dixie's sunny shore. From Atlantic to Pacific, gee, the traffic is terrific. Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. 'Cause no matter how far away you roam, if you want to be happy in a million ways, for the holidays, you can't beat home, sweet home.
Redbone, the late great Leon Redbone. Leon just passed away, I think, in January this past year. No place like home for the holidays. You're looking around like I might have that information.
No, that's fine. I wasn't going to call it out. I did give you the side eye though.
Yeah,
it was recent. I thought maybe 2019, but it might have been last year or this year.
I really feel like it was. I could be wrong.
We got a couple dead guys on today's show. So
more welcome recent. To Dead Guy Christmas with Richard Corey.
That would actually be a good themes show.
That actually would.
Actually, most of these guys are dead anyway. I was going to say, do you think most people know Leon Redbone, Mr. Redbone, as the singer of the Mr. Belvedere theme?
I'm sure people of a certain age do. I don't know him as the singer of the Mr. Belvedere. I never saw an episode of Mr. Belvedere.
As a man of the 80s, you didn't see Mr. Belvedere?
I was watching, in the 80s, I was watching things like
MTV.
MTV and yeah. Miami Vice.
We should probably move on. We don't have enough time to dissect that. I would say, though, maybe many people, including our more younger listeners, know him as Leon the Snowman.
Exactly.
An elf.
Exactly.
He's pretty on the nose.
Yeah, he was sort of the Burl Ives snowman character that they lifted from Rudolph and put into Elf. Yes.
Yeah, there's some very nice nods to Rankin Bass. Some
there are.
Fairly obvious, some less so.
Yeah.
But, like, do you know Ralphie from Christmas Stories in Elf?
No.
He plays one of the elves in the beginning.
You're kidding.
Yeah. No, I'm not kidding.
I had no idea.
True.
I gotta go look that up now. Yeah.
He's like a Hollywood producer. He's really good friends with Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
They produce together. I don't know. Like, cool. He's not like a huge, he's not like, you know, a Spielberg or something.
Right.
But he's done all right for himself.
Good.
That old Ralphie.
Never did shoot his eye out, did he?
Well, not that we know. Well, he did.
He broke his glasses. But
I don't. Did you have anything else about this guy?
Did we just ruin a Christmas story for people who did?
Spoiler alert, the movie's been out for 39 years. Go see it if you haven't. 38 years.
It's a great movie. Anyway.
1983, I think it came out. I do have one bit of note that I found really interesting when I read this, and I feel like you'll appreciate this.
All right.
I doubt you know about this. Maybe you do. With his reluctance to discuss his past, because I guess he was very private.
Yes, he was.
Speculation that Leon Redbone was a alternative identity for another performer. Two common suggestions in years past were, do you have any guesses?
No.
Andy Kaufman.
Okay.
And Frank Zappa.
Those would be actually both phenomenal guesses, except that they both Frank Zappa and Andy Kaufman died long before Leon Redbone was done performing.
But that's the thing. This is both of whom Redbone outlived.
Yes.
Well, if they're not real people, you could fake their death. I mean, that's the whole thing about Kaufman.
No, Andy Kaufman was a real person, as was Frank Zappa.
I know, but if they're all the same person, all three or two of them are the same person, if one person, quote, dies.
You're telling me that people think Andy Kaufman was both Frank Zappa?
No, people think that Leon Redbone was either Andy Kaufman or Frank Zappa.
Right. Right.
So, like, the fact that Frank Zappa died is irrelevant if Frank Zappa is really Leon Redbone, lived.
You're mixing this up, though. It's not that Leon Redbone was Frank Zappa. It's that Frank Zappa was Leon Redbone. Like, Frank Zappa played a character.
No, I understand that.
Redbone. And if Frank Zappa dies, so did Leon Redbone.
Oh, I see. I still disagree. I see your point. But point is, two people. Like, he could have just been Leon Redbone from there on. So, if Frank Zappa died, like, how do you prove Frank Zappa died? Were you there?
Okay.
Just kidding.
Yeah. I also know the Christian are like, ooh. I'm not gonna go there. Okay, so we're gonna talk about Carly Simon.
Notice my silence.
It's early in the morning. We shouldn't be doing this.
I have a haiku.
It's a haiku. Thank you. Save me.
Okay, you're welcome. Voices of Yester. On Mount Rushmore is Perry. That's Como, not Steve.
I like that.
I figured you'd appreciate that.
Yeah, given Mount Rushmore, yeah.
Given our conversation last week.
Perry Como's on the Christmas Mount Rushmore?
I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch, but it worked for this haiku. The point was, it was more so a dig at Steve Perry.
That Steve Perry of Journey out a Christmas album this year that is, it's boring. If there's nothing new. There's nothing, he doesn't bring anything to it. And also, he's 60 plus years old and he doesn't sound like Steve Perry anymore. So it's just not, it's not good. Sorry, Steve. You are the great, in your prime, you were the greatest rock vocalist ever. Not anymore.
So given that I'm new to haikus.
Yeah.
And they sometimes land and sometimes don't.
Yeah.
Would it be fair if I read it, explain it, and then read it again?
Yeah,
for the listening audience.
Go ahead.
Because sometimes things in my head work great. Now, this was obviously more of an insight for you because you'd mentioned last week that Steve Perry's album was not good.
It's not good.
Voices, now, you know, it's a syllable thing. I couldn't put yesteryear like I wanted to, and I was too lazy to rework it. So, Voices of Yester, on Mount Rushmore is Perry. That's Como, not Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Perry Como. So, would I put him as one of the four voices of Christmas? Probably not, but for the sake of this...
Who is on your Mount Rushmore, Mount Rushmore?
We got Burl, we've got Bing.
Yeah.
I think you'd be hard pressed not to include the person I can't think of right now, Gene Autry.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay. And?
Well, just because, I mean, he's not the originator of Christmas music, but like popular, secular Christmas music, man, he's right there at the start. So.
Okay.
And he's, you know, dulcet tones, as you said, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And I feel like if I didn't say Frank, you'd be mad at me.
I would jump all over you if you didn't say Frank Sinatra.
But I think it's easy to find lots of voices. I don't know that Mr. Perry Como would be up there. But
okay.
I mean, he's close.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be the fifth entry.
Right.
I hear they've been talking about doing that recently anyway. So.
Do not.
Let's strike that other chord in this segment.
Yeah. So anyway, Carly Simon, you say.
Yes.
Yes.
I suggested this one.
Yes, you did. I got nothing on this song.
No?
Nothing.
Not familiar? Didn't like it or what?
I had not heard it before last night.
There's probably a good reason for that.
Actually, I shouldn't say. I listened to it when we were trying to put together all the lists and things. So I've probably heard the song maybe three times.
Do you know its origin?
No.
Released in 1992 as part of the soundtrack for the movie This Is My Life. Familiar with This Is My Life?
That's not the Michael Keaton, Nicole Kidman movie where he's dying of cancer.
This is, I don't know the actress offhand, but it's about a mother in New York who wants to be a stand-up comic, and then she leaves her two kids behind, basically.
Oh, I don't know.
So Carly wrote the entire album, I'm understanding, for this movie, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So you're not familiar with the movie. This was the directorial debut of Nora Ephron.
Oh, really?
Nora
Ephron, I believe.
Yeah. Who, for those, I mean, we talked about this, I think, on last year's show. So she wrote, I mean, she was a writer initially, then became a writer. She wrote When Harry Met Sally, Sleepless in Seattle, Mixed Nuts, which was a Christmas movie, and You've Got Mail, among others. So this was her directorial debut.
I believe she directed You've Got Mail, did she not? Or did she?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Interesting.
She directed like maybe half the movie she wrote.
Okay.
So the first, though, was this movie, which the song comes from, which is probably why you didn't hear it, because I guess it wasn't very popular.
Yeah. I mean,
soundtrack movies are soundtrack songs from movies. I guess that's redundant, but don't often, unless you're Celine Dion, take the charts by, you know, storm.
You know, they do, but they're selective, and it has to be, you know.
And holiday ones make it even like more narrow.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, it makes it really tough. So, anyway.
But I thought it was a pleasant enough song, and I know you're a Carly Simon fan. So
I do like Carly Simon very much.
Yeah, so I dug this up, and I thought, hey, why not?
All right. So, from 1992 and that Nora Ephron movie that Corey was just talking about, here's Carly Simon with The Night Before Christmas on 95.1 KYMN.
A brightly painted star. Angels gather around the hearth, strumming on guitars. Men of great renown and faith say prayers on boulevards. It's the night before Christmas. But you don't have to be an angel to sing. In my stream, rain on my
but she reminds me of a chess game with someone I admire, or a picnic in the rain after a prairie fire. And her heart is as big as this whole goddamn jail. She's sweeter than saccharine at a drugstore. Big yard swings around with the gun, spotlights the snowflakes like dust in the sun. It's Christmas in prison, there'll be music tonight. I'll probably get home sick.
Duluth, Minnesota. That Minnesota. Gosh, did I say that right? Holy moly, Derek. They're from up there in up there in northern Minnesota, there in Duluth. That was Trampled by Turtles doing a song written by one of my all-time favorite songwriters, Mr. John Prine. That was Christmas in Prison.
Well, they covered it.
Yes.
That's what I got.
They covered it. They covered John Prine. Yes.
And you covered Corey's notes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No.
I stepped on the touchdown call.
Probably a bit of Homerism. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Trampled by Turtles. Not like a super fan like most people I know, but I very much enjoy the music of theirs I hear and have heard. And I really like Dave Simonette's vocals,
mm-hmm.
And obviously the music itself. I mean, everything they do, I've always enjoyed. So this is a great cover, I think. I know you're obviously a huge Prine fan. And,
I am indeed.
And this was his original piece from 1973. We were talking about this last week for the Amanda Shires song.
Yeah.
Who was an understudy of his of sorts. And John Prine, huge Christmas fan, kept the tree up year round. And
yeah.
So this is one of his contributions to the genre. He I think he had a couple albums, at least one, if not
he had,
a
there,
couple.
He actually never made a Christmas album per se, but there were enough like John Prine Christmas songs that they collected one.
What happened? Yeah. Okay. Which is good. I mean, I should probably dig that one up and listen to it through.
It's John Prine's just wonderful. He was. What a great loss we experienced there.
So a comment you had made real quick
about
the difficulty of finding this song as well as a few others on this list.
We'll get
to those ones specifically, but this was a 2016 release exclusive to Amazon. Acoustic Christmas. It was a playlist that Amazon, I guess, paid artists to do songs. So there's a couple more on here. So the reason why you're having difficulty finding some of these songs is because they're Amazon exclusives.
Yeah.
Created solely for their platform.
Well.
Right or wrong, which, That'll make more sense later when we get to a duet.
Yeah.
Right or wrong, right. I sing.
Either way.
Love that line. So, I mean, yeah, you know, Amazon, the big giant most people hate, but some of the songs they're having produced are quite good. So this one, I think a couple others on this list today. Coincidental that they all landed on today's show.
Yeah, it is a little weird. I mean, that is totally coincidental, but there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on Mr. Prine or
you know,
the Turtles? Not the Turtles, but Trampled by Turtles.
Or as a lot of people just call them, Turtles.
Yeah.
No.
TBT, I kind of like that.
TBT, yeah.
All right.
That sounds like a TV network to me, though. Yeah.
There's still time. Haiku Corner?
Yes.
All right. There's bars on his wall, bars on his heart, mind and soul. Christmas sweets free you.
Aw. That makes me sad.
Christmas sweets.
Christmas in prison.
So bars, you know, multiple use of bars. Christmas
yep,
bars.
Yep,
yeah,
yep.
You got it? All right.
Yep.
There's bars on his wall, bars on his heart, mind and soul. Christmas sweets free you.
Aw. There it is.
All right. There it is.
Okay.
There you have it.
So we were discussing Michael Bublé a little bit earlier.
Or I've told you this story. Is it worth sharing again? I probably shared it the first year.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember the guy's name now. Former senator for our area.
Paul Wellstone.
State senator.
Oh.
Republican from Owatonna. He was there for like a very short time.
Okay.
I went to a dancing with a local celebrity star type thing.
Yeah.
Owatonna was hosting for, I think, healthcare thing.
Okay.
And my wife's friends were in it. And we went down for the show. It was like a 2-hour thing where locals had just liked the show.
Yeah.
But they were local and it was a fundraiser. And it was a nice event. And the senator, I can't remember his name, Mike, it doesn't matter. That's how relevant he is in Minnesota's political history.
Yeah.
He kind of went off the deep end. We'll figure out who it was after this. And he left in not such a bright light. But anyway, he was the MC.
I'm fascinated by the story. I want to know the rest of it.
He was the guy who accused Dayton of like swallowing pills at every meeting and things like that. Anyway.
Okay. Anyway.
His career ended pretty quickly. he was the MC of this event.
He was the MC.
So he introduced every couple and all their musics, their musical songs they were dancing to. I will never forget this. So he introduces so-and-so and so-and-so dancing to whatever song by Michael Bublé. And the entire auditorium burst out laughing, and he clearly has no clue why. Michael Bublé. Anyway.
Well, this is Michael Bublé singing in Spanish with, is it Thalia or Talia? Talia. I'm going to go with Talia.
I would go with Thalia.
I would go with Talia myself.
Yeah, silent
but,
H.
Yeah. Yeah, but my Spanish isn't very good, so I wouldn't know for sure exactly. But so we apologize to her. She does sing very well. And this is them singing
What was that about your Spanish?
What's the name of this song?
Mis Deseos. Feliz Navidad.
On 95.1 KYMN La Uno.
A donde sea que yo esté, tu corazón alcanzaré. Y una sonrisa en tu mirada pintaré. No habrá distancia entre los dos. Al viento volaré mi voz. Con mis deseos a tu alma llegaré. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas.
bottom of my heart.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. Of my heart, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, the Foo Fighters with Run, Rudolph, Run. Did I say that right this time?
You did. I'm sure there's still time for you to mess it up. Like most people.
I'm sure I will.
This is not a Rich Larson moment. A lot of people call it Run, Run, Rudolph. But it's actually Run, Rudolph, Run.
I'll lump myself in there. I mean, I think I, from the first time I heard this song in 1987, when I first heard the Very Special Christmas album, which was the very first time I heard Run, Rudolph, Run.
Which is, what's that album now?
It's called A Very Special Christmas.
Never heard of it today.
Yeah. Bryan Adams did it on Very Special Christmas. I've always called it Run, Run, Rudolph.
Most people do.
Yeah.
Just easier.
Yeah. Chuck Berry song. Really good. If you couldn't tell, I mean, it's Chuck Berry wrote one song and then put variations on it.
Wow, that sounds really familiar. Yeah. Hey, if it works.
Yeah, man. But that was the Foo Fighters. What the thing I like about that specific recording, I like they've got Dave Grohl's vocals mixed way down in there. Like you want to hear Dave Grohl singing, you got to have to pay attention a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So are you saying the music's the star of that one?
I would say so. Yeah. Sure.
Should be, right?
Yeah.
Well, in most cases.
Loud, fast rules.
Another Amazon original. So I know you had difficulty finding that one. So that was just released last year. So it's a more recent song. So, I mean, I think it's a, I mean, Chuck Berry, the original, is another one of those untouchable songs.
Absolutely.
For me. But I think Dave and company does pretty well with it.
Right.
You know, there's other versions of the song. Some okay, some awful.
Right. Right.
I actually think that one's pretty well done.
Yeah, the whole thing about I want a doll that cries and wets her pants and all that stuff, and that, you know, whatever. But the rest of it's a fine song.
And I think they did enough to make it their own, too. I mean,
well, yeah, they did.
Nice energy. I mean, the song itself lends itself there. If you don't bring energy to that song, you're going to fail.
Exactly. So you're not going to do an acoustic, tender version of Run, Rudolph, Run. No.
There probably is one out there.
Oh, sure it is. Okay, now
we need to look it up.
Now I've thrown it out of the gauntlet.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, okay. All right.
You know, kind of a dressed down version.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. We'll see what we can come up with here.
All right. Haiku hour. 64, 5, 6, Rudolph, Charlie, and the Grinch. None can kick a ball.
But at least Rudolph's cute.
Yeah.
I'm cute.
So 64, 65. Yeah. So that's the best way to remember those. Everyone's like, oh, when did those ones come out? They all came out in successive years.
Oh, is that right?
So Rudolph was first in 1964. Charlie Brown Christmas came out in 1965, and the Grinch came out in 1966.
Interesting.
What a run for this holiday, huh?
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad. It just reminds me, the Grinch was on last night, and I DVR'd it. Totally forgot about it. When we're done, or it was on Friday night, and I DVR'd it.
The original.
The original Grinch. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's on another, we were talking about the streamer issues earlier. I think that's on Netflix now.
Is it?
Or Prime, one of the two.
Okay,
I know. I mean, I get it. Licensing's changed. Yeah. Money changes hands. Things move around. They did have the newer Grinch a couple years ago. The one that just come out with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh yeah, I kind of like that one actually.
You know, we bookmarked it to watch it. That it must have been 2019. Didn't get to it, and it's never been back. So.
I kind of liked it. I took my my daughter and her boyfriend, who at that point were in their, you know, they were like 22, 23, something like that. And I liked it. My daughter liked it. My future son-in-law did not care for it, but he's more of a cinemaphile. He's more of a critic.
Critical eye.
Very much so.
Well, in the same vein, I'm going to guess that you're not a fan of the live-action version with Jim Carrey.
No, I didn't care for it at all.
Yeah, shocker.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's long. That's my biggest issue with it. Like, I think they did some creative things with it. It's a little weird. Just seen the human versions of it.
The human version. Of
I mean, I think Jim Carrey did really well. Like, the makeup looks great. You know, he over-acts in it, but that's Jim Carrey's
approach. Jim Carrey. Yeah. I mean, that's
and fine. It works for that character.
Sure it does.
I think. But the rest of the people of Whoville, the Whos, it's a creepy look.
I will say it's tough. For those of us who grew up with, 25 minutes of How the Grinch Stole Christmas, it's tough to draw that out to 2 hours.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I remember vividly, like a decade ago, not trying, but watching that movie and thinking the original version.
Yeah.
And about halfway through thinking, how long is this? Because I remember one time being tired and watching, like, man, this seems long. It was 25 minutes.
It's 25 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, those memories stick with you. I just remember lying in bed one night watching. It's like, is this over yet? I mean, I don't dislike it. It seemed like it just was stretched out. We watched Mickey's Christmas Carol the other day. Same thing. That's a very brisk telling of that story. It's 24 minutes long.
You're kidding.
And the intro is like 2.5 minutes, the opening credits.
It's really?
It's like 24 minutes.
Wow.
But also feels very long. And I don't know what it is about like these animated shorts that the length is just something about the pacing, maybe. I don't know.
You know, we did a Halloween show this year. And did we? And
did you pass out candy this year?
I did not. Shocker. I went to a movie.
After all that elbowing I gave you.
Yeah, well, anyway. but I promised you.
Is this why you brought up? Because you're the Grinch of Christmas.
Well, I'm the Grinch of Halloween. Yeah. I'm Scrooge of Halloween, whatever you want to call me. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll let you talk.
Yeah, I promised you I would watch Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, yes.
Which I had not seen at that point, but I have now seen it. This year, my oath to you is I still have not seen A Muppet Christmas Carol.
Mm.
But I'm going to watch that this year.
Yeah, do you have Disney Plus?
I do.
It's on there.
Okay.
There you go. Well, just saved you a trip to the library because that's where you should get all your rentals.
Northfield Public Library, mynpl.org.
Phenomenal resource. Or if you bookmark it, or not even bookmark it, if your browser remembers, just go to Selco.
Okay.
Just start typing, because that's their database that they can connect with the rest of the state or the southern part.
Right.
I just start typing SEL on my phone or on my computer, and it brings me right to it.
Fantastic.
And it's great. I've gotten movies from there for a long time. And books. Occasionally a book. video games, too.
Yeah, cool.
Not that I should tell people, but if you have a Nintendo Switch.
Really?
And you want your kid to try a new game. They've done very well to build out their library of games, which is great.
Right?
Yeah, which is great in this day and age of no Hollywood videos, no blockbusters, no family videos.
Yeah.
You can't rent games anywhere.
I suppose.
That's like a lost medium for, you know, those video game players in your life.
Can you, I don't even know, can you like, but you can't like go to Amazon and download a game for like 3 days or something?
No.
No?
No. There's one mail service I know of. It's called Gamefly.
Yeah.
You pay X dollars a month for one or two games at a time, and you can ship them back. And as soon as you ship them back, they send you a new one.
Like,
so it's a rental service. It's like Netflix
of
old.
Netflix used to be
with video games.
Right.
I mean, it can be okay, but that's a lost art. So I'm so appreciative. This is totally a tangent. So appreciative of the library because it gives an opportunity to just go get a game. Not everyone wants to spend 40, 50, 60 bucks on a game.
I love the library. I'm a huge fan of the Northfield Public Library.
Everyone should go to the library.
Indeed. Okay. Time now. For Haiku Corner, here is from the Northfield School.
Oh, we already
did
that.
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because it was the Grinch. That's how we got the Grinch thing.
64, 5, 6.
Okay. All right. So, moving on, Joy Williams, another person I'd never heard of before.
Yeah. So
and
the problem
is lovely.
So the problem with you redoing that one spreadsheet is I forgot who submitted some of these.
Oh.
And I was fairly certain I had submitted this one.
Yeah, because I'd never heard the song before.
Yeah, okay. So just making sure. So I did come with some notes on this one.
Sorry, I didn't mean to mess you up like that. I apologize.
No, it's okay. I mean, I for the most part, know which ones I brought.
Yeah.
But this is one of those I'm like, oh, because I'm not really familiar with her, too. It's just I came across her probably on Amazon because I do listen to a lot of music on Prime.
Mm-hmm.
So she is a – so you don't know her at all?
Mm-mm,
okay.
Not at all.
Singer-songwriter from Michigan. She's a 4-time Grammy winner.
Really?
Yep. She debuted in 2001 and was part of the Civil Wars duo, which –
she was part of the Civil Wars.
Yeah.
Which
no longer
these
is together.
These two people famously hate each other.
Yeah, so.
Interesting. Like, okay.
Name was apropos, I guess.
Yeah.
So she, it looked like all her Grammy and other music awards were related to her folk music, but it says she's in folk rock, pop, and contemporary Christian, but it looks like she got most of her acknowledgement for the folk work.
Okay.
And this song is from 2017. Obviously, the song predates that, but her version of the song is more recent, and I agree with you. It's quite lovely.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, from 2017, this is I'll Be Home for Christmas by Joy Williams on 95.1 KYMN, the one.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas if only in my dreams. If only in my dreams.
Bells will be ringing this sad, sad news. Oh, what a Christmas to have the blues. My baby's gone, I have no friends. You wish me greeting once again. Please come home for Christmas. If not for Christmas, by New Year's night. Friends and relations, send salutations. Time of year to be with the one you love. So won't you tell me you'll never more roam. Christmas and New Year will find you home. There'll be no more sorrow, no grief and pain.
Corey, are you aware of the fact that when you talk about the band that just did that song, you don't use the word the?
No article.
Yeah, it was just that was just Eagles.
That well, was Eagles. I think it's still appropriate to use the. It's just not a part
it's,
of the name.
It's not part of their proper name.
And I think that's what confuses people. I think we've had a long conversation about this. I think you probably have with lots of people about band names and the confusion
sure
around whether the is formally part of names or
and
not.
I'm a guy that likes to put the in front of bands that there's no point in, like
the Oasis,
or the Smashing Pumpkins, or yeah. You know, like there's a band from the 70s that you may or may not have heard of called Sweet. And in America, America, they're Sweet, but in the UK, they're The Sweet. And I prefer The Sweet.
Did Sweet do Lil Willy?
Yeah.
Lil Willy.
Go home. Yeah.
Great song.
That's The Sweet. And they did Ballroom Blitz, and they did
Ballroom Blitz, that's right.
Fox on the Run, which is
Lil Willy's my favorite, though.
Anyway.
I mean, another one that I struggle with is one of your favorite groups, The Band. I mean, it should be The Band, right?
there's another band from back in my day called The. which one guy named Matt Smith. Yeah. Oh, great stuff, too.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Well,
that was Eagles. That was the Eagles.
Please Come Home for Christmas.
Please Come
Home. All timer for me.
Which is a song that's actually much older than I thought it was.
Yes.
They recorded that in like 73 or something.
I think 78.
Okay, 78.
It was at least released in 78, but I feel like I read that they recorded it at the same time.
Okay, so that's Southern, or that's Hotel California era Eagles.
And I thought what you're alluding to is the origination of the song.
Yeah.
I educated you on this 2 years ago when we had this.
Let's have the conversation again.
Charles Brown.
That's right.
1960. This is
a Charles Brown song.
A Charles Brown written and sung song.
The great Charles Brown. Yeah. One of the great blues R&B songwriters of them all, Charles Brown.
One of those people I don't think that gets enough attention.
Not even close.
Particularly from my demographic, right? But probably even for your demographic, who lived through part of his career.
Yeah, no, not even close. He's sort of on the fringe of forgotten. Not quite, but like people who pay attention know who he is, but that's it.
Yeah. And now I'm struggling. I'm forgetting. What's the other song we had from his last year? That
I don't remember.
Because someone else does it and it's better known, but he had the original. Oh my god! And I feel like it was an Otis Redding song.
We'll take a break. When we play the next couple of songs, we'll come back and we'll remind you.
I'm not as encyclopedic as you. I can't always. I'm pretty good at recalling things. I mean, I just pulled out Little Willie from Sweet.
That's pretty good. I'll admit I'm a little foggy this morning. I don't even know why. It's just weird. Anyway.
We'll just pick
this morning. We keep saying this morning. It's by the time people are hearing this, it's like 8:30 at night. We're recording this on a Sunday morning.
Anyway. But real quick on Please Come Home for Christmas. Obviously covered by many artists. This is the definitive version for me, with all due respect to Mr. Brown.
This is a pretty good one. And
I know we have this debate every year because we always have this song on the show.
Well, the thing is, Don Henley, I'm not a huge fan of Don Henley as a human being, right? He's not my favorite guy.
I mean, you could say that about a lot of artists, right?
Exactly. But Don Henley is, people talk about singers, and they generally, I think when you talk about people talk about singers, they talk about how they like that person's voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, what makes Don Henley such an amazing singer is the way he phrases things. And the way he puts the words together, and I don't know. I think that is a tremendous vocal performance.
Do you have a preferred version?
This is it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were making an argument that you really like this version, but there is one you like more.
No,
okay, okay.
No, this is it.
As long as it's not the Bon Jovi version.
Nothing.
Nowhere near this show.
Like, I like Bon Jovi. I do. I genuinely like Bon Jovi, but not, no. No, no. I don't think Bon Jovi's ever done a cover of anything that I really liked. I like their original stuff.
I went to way too many Twins games that I cannot stand Bon Jovi anymore.
Okay, see, my senior year was Slippery in high school. Was Slippery When Wet. I actually saw Bon Jovi the night before I graduated from high school.
Oh, well, there you go.
There it is.
That's nice.
Yeah. Anyway.
Living on the Prayer, I can do without ever hearing
it. Oh, God. I love that song.
That's all the Twins ever played. It was always like sixth inning. I'm like, just
Living
stop
on a
it.
Prayer.
Oh, my God.
Wanted Dead or Alive. Yeah, just Never Say Goodbye.
I used to like him.
This
but
is
it was
my
overplayed.
Senior year in high school.
It was just overplayed for me.
Yeah.
But I think also, other than it being the best version, it's the version I heard the most growing up, which, carries some weight, too.
Right.
You just hear something more often.
Right. Anyway.
All right. Ready for the next haiku?
I'm ready.
All right. Again, some of these are playing off the songs that they're following.
Sure.
Please Do Not Come Home. Christmas is best without you. Lizzo said, truth hurts.
Wow.
Please Do Not Come Home. Christmas is best without you. Lizzo said, truth hurts.
Well, if Lizzo said it, then I'm going to fall right by.
It's the gospel.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. We talked about it at the top of the show, and it's hard sometimes to remember what's on air and what's not, and just the conversations we've had over the years, but sometimes Christmas isn't great for everybody.
Nope.
And sometimes that just means removing someone. It's the old addition by subtraction.
Exactly.
So holidays can sometimes be better when there's some absence involved.
I found that out the easy way and the hard way, actually.
Yeah, so not meant to be harsh by any means, but sometimes it's just better that way.
Well, sometimes families get together out of obligation or whatever. People get together out of obligation, and it just probably shouldn't happen.
The old blood is thicker than water. What a terrible line.
Not necessarily.
But what's the line I always drop on you that I think is one of my favorites that I can never remember who it's from? It involves heat. Putting you on the spot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Don't set yourself on fire to keep somebody warm, else warm.
To keep others warm, yeah. I'm just making sure you're learning. That's all. No, I love that line. I think that's very true. And again, this will come off harsh to some people, but if you really think about it, I just think there's only so much you can do. But sometimes you shouldn't start yourself on fire. You shouldn't go to the end of the world and put yourself out to every degree, to just make some other people feel okay. Now, in some cases, it's warranted, but it just depends on the people. There's a lot of variables here. I realize I came off way more harsh trying to describe that than just letting the statement state for itself.
The great philosopher, Corey Butler.
I'm trying. Yes. I'm trying here.
Yeah, you do well.
I'm Socrates Jr. That's how you say it, right?
Socrates. Thank you, Bill and Ted. Bill and Ted, speaking of great duos like Bill and Ted, here's probably the greatest of all duos coming up here. I think people still look at this as one of the oddest duets in all of music history. I love this. I think it's fantastic.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. This is of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Naturally.
Naturally. Now we're Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
Who's
on first?
David Bowie and Bing Crosby.
Mm. Why?
Because this is from a Bing Crosby Christmas special. Because he actually died.
Yes.
Between the time they recorded the special and when it was aired.
Correct.
Yeah, 1978,
I once knew this. I no longer do.
Yeah, I knew this last year.
I think you're at least in the right decade.
That much I know. I think it is five, but no, it can't be five. It's got to be 1978.
Who cares? What's he going to do, complain?
Because Bowie was deep into the Ziggy Stardust thing in 1975. And Bowie,
wasn't this when he was cleaning up his image?
Bowie was definitely not Ziggy Stardust in this. Anyway, so there's an entire. I would really invite you to go to YouTube, if you haven't seen it. Even if you have seen it, do it again. Go to YouTube and find this video. There's a whole intro that is just one of the oddest things you'll ever see. It's these two men trying really hard, and both talented actors. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying really hard to pull off that it's just a casual conversation between a couple.
Very cordial.
Bing has no idea who David Bowie is,
and he gives two rips
for
about
real.
It too.
Yeah, and does not care. And Bowie
calls him Bowie at one point.
Yes, he does. Yes. Yeah, and the Bowie is at best bemused by the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Bing asks him. Because Bowie says, "Oh, I'm really into contemporary music for obvious reasons, because he's younger."
Yeah.
And being, "Oh, you listen to the old guys at all?" He's like, "Oh yes, John Lennon." Yeah. And who's the other guy? And he kind of rubs his chin. Harry Nilsson.
Yeah.
Oh, you're that old, huh? You're that old. So it's definitely worth a watch. And then after that, what should they do? Do you know? Go watch the other version of this. Does it escape your mind?
Yeah.
Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly does. Like a note for note recreation of this.
Completely forgotten about that.
I mean, it's not meant to be funny until the very, very, very end, where one of the characters loses their mind briefly. But before that, the 5 minutes that precedes that,
it's hilarious.
It's a note for note recreation.
It's great.
The singing, the acting, the whole thing. Yeah. It's really well done.
Yeah. I first saw this. We were talking about MTV earlier. First time I saw this was on MTV, and it was.
Bizarre.
Might have been 1982. My family got MTV in August of 1982. This much I remember. And
to come with a free Moon Man?
No. This is pre Moon Man. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
And so I saw this for the first time when I was like 13 years old, and it blew my mind then, and I've never gotten away from it.
And I mean, I'm going to ask maybe an obvious question, but like, you knew who Bing Crosby was.
Of course,
right?
I knew who Bing Crosby was. I knew more Bing Crosby than I did David Bowie at 13.
Okay.
So anyway.
The one other thought I had about the song before we move on is just like, it's always interesting when you see, I don't want to say this was a passing of the torch, because it wasn't.
It was just like the
old versus new type thing. Could you envision, had he still been alive and was interested, Bowie doing this now in the senior role?
Oh my gosh.
And like having maybe like a Harry Styles or someone like that.
Michael Bubble.
Well, he's probably a little too old. But someone who's in their 20s a few albums in and has popularity. But
Harry Styles would be actually the good comparison there.
Yeah, that's kind of who came to mind.
That would be great.
Or if we want to piss people off, we could say like Justin Bieber or something.
Yeah. But unfortunately, yeah, our man, Mr. Possible. Bowie, passed away a couple of years ago. Oh, gosh. It's going to be 6 years in January that David Bowie's been gone. My gosh. And many, many, many years since Bing Crosby passed away. But so here are the two legends doing the Little Drummer Boy / Peace on Earth on 95.1 KYMN, The One.
They told me, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum, a newborn king to see, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum, rum-ba-bum-bum, rum-ba-bum-bum. Peace on earth, can it be? And years from now, perhaps we'll see. Our see the day of glory. See the day when we'll live in peace, live in peace again. So peace on earth when we come. Child must be made aware. Every child must be made to care. Care enough for his fellow to give all the love that he can.
I pray my wish will come true. It's for my child and your child too. He'll see the day of glory. I'll see the day when men of good will live in peace again. And peace on earth. Can it be? Pretty thing, isn't it?
His hat to me this morning. The landlord even smiled and said, good day. And I want you to know that a stranger said hello. Christmas can't be far away. Old tightwad down the street is a buying candy to pass out to the neighbor kids at play. The town is on the go, and the weatherman says snow. Christmas can't be far away. The small fry on our block have all been saving, and now they're hiding things and looking sly. Mom will get that doodad she's been craving, and Dad will get his usual Christmas tie. Both young and old are planning sweet surprises. They'll soon be tied with ribbons bright and gay. Goodwill is in the air, and you feel it everywhere. Christmas can't be far away.
Goodwill is in the air, you feel it everywhere.
Christmas can't be far away.
And that was one of the faces on Corey's Mount Rushmore of Christmas. That was Mr. Burl Ives with Christmas Can't Be Far Away.
Had to have some representation.
Absolutely.
I think that's the only entry we have on this year's edition of shows.
Which actually really surprises me.
Well, we've pledged that we're trying to work in some new...
We have.
New faces and some new voices.
Okay.
Which means some of our favorites are going to have to step aside.
Yeah.
And again, I think we're both in agreement. People can find those songs if they need them.
Sure.
And they should need them. Yeah. At least want them, but you should probably need them.
Absolutely.
As my son would say, cool 108. Or you've got Spotify Prime. You can go find these classics. Yeah. They're beautiful songs. You should definitely listen to them in the next few weeks.
But thank you for spending a little time with KYMN at the
moment. Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I know I'm promoting the cities too much here. But this is a different type of Christmas programming.
Indeed it is.
But this is a song, and it's been on the show before. This has become one of my more favorite pieces from Burl. I mean, he's got a whole list of songs that all seem to hit the spot for me.
Right.
But this is one that's not as well loved and as well known, and I just find it to be so pleasant.
This one hits the same spot for me as Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World.
Oh, that's quite the compliment.
Well, I think it's that good. I mean, it's a nice little song.
Yeah. Well, I'll pass on the word to the Ives estate so they know how they got your blessing. But real quick, this is on the Have a Holly Jolly Christmas album if you want to seek that out. So that came out a year after Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer because that was so popular. And what year did that come out, Rich?
1964,
correct.
Corey.
So 1965, Burl said, hey, I can make some money.
Yeah, I'm going to put my cash in.
I'm going to take the three songs from that show and put a few more together, but he was a well accomplished artist by then.
Yeah, but that's what solidified his legacy though is the Christmas stuff because that's really when you hear Burl Ives these days is at Christmas.
Not a bad place to be.
No, not at all.
Because here we are, 56 years later.
Yep.
Still talking about him. So
heck, he's still on Mount Rushmore, man.
Well, on mine at least.
Well, you are the king of Christmas.
No, let's not say that.
Northfield's king of Christmas, Corey Butler.
Well, I appreciate it.
With a haiku.
With a haiku. Hey, good setup. You knew when I looked down that it must have been time to move on.
It's time.
I just didn't want to keep eye contact with you. But I'm really good. I try to be good about eye contact. But I looked away, which meant it's time.
Yes.
Upon us. Okay, let me preface this. I had to be a little careful with the syllable count here. So hopefully this first line still lands.
Okay.
Upon us, winter. Walk among the town's townies. Give cash to merchants.
That's tomorrow night.
It is.
As you're hearing.
That's called timing.
That's tomorrow night.
That's called Corey knows how to look at a calendar and says, hey, guess what?
Well done.
Yeah. So originally I had, when I was reviewing, so I wrote these all this morning.
Yeah.
And then was reviewing them to make sure I had my syllable counts correct. And I realized I had an extra syllable because I wanted the word is in that first line. Upon us is winter. And then I realized, ooh, too many. So I'm like, upon us still works.
You just put a pause in there. It's fine.
Upon us. Winter. Walk. See how they did that?
Yeah, I did.
Upon us, winter.
It's like a 7-9 thing. Yeah.
A walk among... Oh, my phone went dark.
Uh-oh.
A walk among the town's townies. That's a little lazy, but I kind of like the wordplay there. Give cash to merchants.
Give cash to merchants. So, that's the key, folks. Tomorrow night, give some cash to merchants.
Yes.
Okay, so coming up next is a group that my partner here likes to call the Band.
Hey, articles are important. And if they're definitive, even better.
This is one of my favorite bands of all time, The Band.
The Band. I know, and that's why I suggested it this year.
Yeah, I know.
Although I'm pretty sure we had this on prior year, maybe 2 years ago.
We did. I can't imagine we didn't. You would not heard it 2 years ago when we first played it, and then we didn't play it last year, and it was missed.
Yeah. So. I mean, again, we tried to space things out. It wouldn't be fun if we just played the first year show.
Shows
last year and this year and just say, hey, here's last year's shows again.
The thing about this song that is interesting to me is it's kind of a forgotten, well, I don't even know if it was, you can say it was a classic, but it's a song that came out on an album called Islands in 1977.
Nailed it.
Okay. And it's Islands is sort of an odds and sods kind of a like all they took all these leftover songs that had never been on an album or whatever, and they slapped them all together. So I frankly don't even know when this song was originally recorded. But it was never like it wasn't like KQRS never picked this up for Christmas. I heard this song for the very first time. It's on, we just talked about Scrooged, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Robbie Robertson, who was the main creative force behind the band, re-recorded this song for the movie Scrooged.
Yes.
And that was the first time I heard it. I didn't know that there was a band version until I just looked up Christmas Must Be Tonight on Spotify and found, okay. Because that Islands album was just an album I'd always kind of ignored because it was just leftovers. But this is wonderful, and it made me go back and listen to the whole
album. And that's the version we just played, was the original.
That's the version we're about to play.
Or about to play, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm out of order here.
Is the original.
You had played it earlier.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I put it in instead of Burl Ives, and then we had to go back and redo everything, but yeah.
My apologies.
Yeah, anyway, so that's that.
It was released in 1988, like you said, for Scrooge. So, and then it was re-released again by Robbie Robertson as a solo update in 1995 for Winter, Fire, and Snow, Songs for the Holiday Season.
Interesting.
You have that album?
I do not.
Have you heard it?
I have not.
Sounds like he took some liberties with it, and it's not quite same song.
He did, yeah.
But the definitive version, the one that you're going to listen to here shortly, and that people would know, but is from 1977.
Right.
But I think to your point that it is an overlooked song. Yeah. It's really well done. And I don't think, great song, love the vocal work.
Like, I've put this out on social media before, and the reaction I get all the time is, wow, I've never heard that before. That's cool.
Well, what rules the world? Radio. Yeah. I mean, if it's not on radio, most people, musically speaking.
I like the idea that radio rules the world. It's,
at least when it comes to the music that people listen to.
Right.
And maybe that's changed the last decade or so, obviously, but we have so much more access than we once did. And you obviously lived through this more than I did.
Right.
If you didn't hear on the radio, you probably didn't know about it.
Yeah.
Before we move into the song, though, we did have a follow-up on Mr. Charles Brown.
Oh, yeah, we talked about...
Merry Christmas Baby was the other song, which was Christmas an Otis Redding song.
You sure do treat me right, but it is an Otis Redding song. I know it as a Bruce Springsteen song because of It's on a Very Special Christmas, done by Bruce Springsteen and E Street Band.
I was thinking, should I say something? Nah, I'm not going to say anything. it's tired at this point. Not you mentioning it, but me. Retorting.
I understand.
The Wood album?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right. You like what you like.
Yes. Yeah. This is from 1977. This is The Band with Christmas Must Be Tonight on 95.1 KYMN. The One.
Come down to the manger. See the little stranger. Wrapped in swaddling, below the Prince of Peace. The wheels start turning, torches start burning, and behold, wise men journey from the east. How a little baby boy bring the people so much joy. Son of a carpenter, Mary carried the light. This must be Christmas, must be tonight. A shepherd on the hillside, where over my flock I abide. On a cold winter night, a band of angels sing. In a dream I heard a voice say, fear not, come rejoice. It's the end of the beginning, praise the newborn King. How a little baby boy bring the people so much joy. Son of a carpenter, Mary carried the light. Christmas must be tonight. So
saw it with my own eyes, written up in the sky. The why a simple person such as I. And then it came to pass, he was born at last, right below the star that shines on high. Our little baby boy, bring the people so much joy, son of a carpenter. Mary carried the light. This must be Christmas, must be tonight. Son of a carpenter, Mary carried the light. Christmas must be tonight. Be tonight. Be tonight. Be tonight. Be tonight.
Frosted window panes, candles gleaming inside, painted candy canes on the tree. Santa's on his way, and he's filled his sleigh with things, things for you and for me. It's that time of year when the world falls in love. Every song you hear seems to say, Merry Christmas, may your new year dreams come true. And this song of mine in three-quarter time wishes you and yours the same thing too.
Christmas waltz. Corey, can you dance? Can you waltz?
I can.
Can you?
Probably. I don't know. I've never tried.
Really?
I'm sure I could, though.
It's actually not too difficult, but you have to remember to kind of put a tiptoe up at one point, and it's a little weird. For those of us who are really uncoordinated, waltzing can be a challenge.
I was going to say, would you lead me?
I'll lead you anywhere, my boy. Yeah.
I don't know that our arms could reach each other. a couple kinda, belly boys here.
Yeah, exactly. We just have to sort of, reach really stretch a little. That's all. Anyway. So that was a Christmas waltz.
So again, criticize Amazon all you want, but this was an original.
Yes, it was.
Amazon song released just this year.
Yes. Yeah.
Whoever's running their music show over there is doing quite well.
Well, yeah, they're getting a lot of people. Norah Jones put out a Christmas album this year, and that song is not on it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So clearly, again, Amazon exclusive.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. There it is.
I wonder how that discussion goes. Like, I'm actually releasing an album.
Yeah.
Can I put this? No.
We're going to give you an outtake.
Yeah.
And that's how that goes.
And I love that song. Usually when we've had it, well, I shouldn't say usually. We've had it on here at least 1 year, maybe both.
Yeah.
It's a Frank song for me.
Yeah.
But it's hard to go wrong with Norah. It's hard to go wrong with Norah.
I can't argue with Norah Jones, man. I love Norah Jones.
Yeah, I grew up with her. You know, she really came out around 2000-ish.
Yeah.
And I think she's should be recognized as one of the voices of that generation, this generation, however you want to frame it. Because I think she's a Gen Xer, but her music was for millennials.
That first album, Come Away With Me, to this day, it knocks me on my butt. That's a great album. Anyway.
She's quite something.
She is.
Okay. I'm glad that we came across that song and could share with you and go find it, but not on her own album this year. Maybe in the future. I don't know how those rights work.
I don't either, but I'm... It seems like Amazon hangs onto it for a while, though, because, yeah, anyway.
Well, not the Andy Williams Christmas special from 1968, I'll tell you. They let that baby go.
I'm sensing a shred of bitterness.
Same with Red Skeletons from 1957. I just want to watch some old-time stuff.
I know, man. Because you're an old soul.
I guess.
Yeah, all right.
Well, here's a newer soul. This one might hit home for you.
Okay, here we go.
This will be the most controversial haiku.
I like the
perhaps game. Of all four shows.
We'll okay, see. Here we go.
All right, I'm going to look at you as I read this one. See your response. Stare through your soul. Yeah. The Die Hard debate. I finally watched the film. Christmas movie? Not.
Do you know what I did on Thursday night? Thursday, as we're recording this, it's still Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes.
Thursday night.
You watched Die Hard?
Watched Die Hard.
Christmas movie for you?
It is not Christmas until Hans Gruber falls off of Yakimoto? I don't know. Nakamura Tower.
The Tower.
Yes.
I don't know.
Nakamura. That's what it is.
I had watched, I probably saw it years and years ago before this became a thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't like this year. I watched it last year. And I get it. I get why people would argue for it. To me, it's not just about the timing of the year, because I think you could argue a lot of Christmas movies are only Christmas movies because they happen to take place during Christmas time.
Right.
And that would be my argument for this movie. But to me, it's about the feelings that you feel you watch a movie.
Right.
And that's the disconnect for me. And
you're not going to get that watching Die Hard.
No, but there are Christmas references.
Oh, yeah.
And it all makes sense.
So
it's not something I'm going to fight over. But to me, I say no.
Yeah.
There are other more recent movies. Like, what was that? A Holiday Christmas Party. That was one that came out a few years ago. It was an R-rated comedy.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Like, there was moments in it where it's funny, but that could have been a Holiday 4th of July party.
Have you ever seen Trading Places? Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy?
It's been so long.
Yeah. To me, that's a Christmas movie, even though it's... Not a Christmas movie.
Here's a good example. How many Thanksgiving movies are there? Not many, right?
Not many.
There's not a list of things people necessarily watch.
Right.
But the one that people talk about, and it's a great movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes, which I've never seen.
A phenomenal movie. That's what you should have watched Thursday.
That's what I should have watched Thursday.
Not Die Hard. You should have watched that. I would have lent you my copy of it. It's a Thanksgiving movie because it takes place during Thanksgiving. They're trying to get home
For Thanksgiving. Right.
It could have been St. Patrick's Day. It didn't really matter.
Yeah. Like
the holiday didn't play into the movie at all, other than travel stunk and they were running into roadblocks.
Right.
But it becomes a Thanksgiving movie because of the timing. It's just like any movie. So, it's an opinion. People have different opinions about different movies, but this is an action movie that happens to take place during Christmas. To me, not a Christmas movie.
I have to say this just... not having really anything to do with the topic itself, but Die Hard, hadn't seen it for a couple of years. And before that, I hadn't seen it for like 25 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Die Hard is there are so many moments in that movie that have now become cliches
Sure.
that Die Hard. You watch Die Hard. It's actually a parody of itself.
Kind of.
Yeah, I mean, all of Bruce Willis's dialogue and all. I mean,
it's peak 80s action.
Oh yeah. It's. I don't think it's a Simpson Bruckheimer movie, but it may as well be. I mean, it's yeah. Anyway.
It's a good movie for what it's supposed to be, and I will never take that away from it. I think it's a fine movie. I just Christmas not for me.
Yeah. Okay.
But who has the time? I've got 40 other things I need to watch anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a couple of characters in that movie you just want to reach the TV and choke.
Ah, yes.
Anyway, next, finally, the big finish.
Yeah.
This is my favorite Christmas song.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
I thought the Christmas song was your favorite Christmas
song. No, this is it.
You probably told me that once upon a time.
And partially because I absolutely love the way Nat King Cole sings the song, mm-hmm. and partially because it's in a range where if I sing along with it, I feel like I can actually sing pretty well. I mean, it gives me a chance to use the big, powerful, I have a big belly, right, which allows me to put a lot of breath between my underneath my voice.
The way you're holding your hands looked like you had some saggy issues.
Well, I do, but that's a whole different kind
not
of
not a visual stage. Medium for anyone other than me.
Exactly. Anyway, I like to sing along.
I got
with
some good
song.
Voices yeah.
here. Anyway, this is Nat King Cole.
Can I share a real quick sweet story to follow up that
please?
Crude? Because it is. Are we officially in Christmas on the Cannon after dark at this point?
We may as well be.
No, that was more so what we just said, but I was listening again to the songs this morning, getting prepared, and I was up early and had headphones on, and my daughter comes in. This is the last song I'm listening to because it's the last song of today's show. And she asked what I'm doing. She didn't realize what I was doing. I said, "Oh, come here." And I take the headphones off my head, and she's probably heard the song. I put it on her head, and I just watch her face for about 10 seconds, and you know, you can see her slowly get into it and just enjoy it.
Nice.
And I was like, I take it off and I tell her, that's Nat King Cole. And I said, I've got his album right over there. Full circle here, right? Because we started with Fred Waring and the Pennsylvanians.
Right.
I had the album sitting on my record player, which was just a few feet from me. I said, there he is there. And I talked about some of the challenges he probably had at that time being an artist
mm-hmm.
who looked like him and
yeah.
how talented he was and how he persevered. And here he is, you know, just heralded by so many.
Yeah.
For his ability. Yeah. So she only heard 15 seconds of it. And again, she's heard Nat King Cole before, but when you get those moments to educate, I pounce on that. I just happen to have the visual there too, which is to me so important.
I love that. That's great.
Anyway,
that's awesome.
Great song.
Yes. Fantastic song. Oh, holy night. Mr. Butler, catch you again next week.
Always a pleasure. I'll be here.
All right, cool. Thanks folks. We will be back next Wednesday at 7 PM. Until then, enjoy Nat King Cole. Talk to you guys again next week. Peace.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night divine. was born.
Oh, night.
Oh,